Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. On today's episode of the podcast, I'm going to interview a very interesting guest. Her name is Eleonora Muralia. She's a junior content and audience manager at September Management. She's also an artist manager for the artist Oscar O. I'm super happy to have Eleonora on the show because I'm sure it will be a very insightful conversation. Hi, Ele. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Sofika. Very excited to be here.
I'm also excited to have you.
Thank you so much. Finally, we made it happen.
So let's start with your background. Could you please share a little bit about your background and why you decided to have a career in music industry?
Okay, so once upon a time. My background, I would say, like most people will tell you, is I always loved music since I was very, very young. But you know what? So last week I saw an old friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a while, and he was asking me like about my job and what I do in music and whatever. And he was like, oh, how did you end up just like working in music and whatever? I was like, yeah, you know, like I always liked music, so I wanted to do this. And he was like, yeah, okay, Ele, but like, doesn't everyone like music? Like, which is, it's kind of like true, everyone likes music. It's kind of like a bullshit answer to say I always love music and I just ended up here. Because the reality of it is that saying I always loved music is a massive understatement, I think, for what it is, because it wasn't only liking music, it was a lot that music just always gave me a space and kind of like a purpose, and it was always like a place that I would go to, and it kind of like made me feel like I belonged somewhere since I was very young, whether it was like at first just listening to artists and like having a lot of like people that you admired in music, like your favorite artists. And then I kind of like, I have an older brother who always showed me music. I remember that like he would show me like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I became obsessed with that band. And I became obsessed with the guitarist of that band watching like this live show. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a guitarist. So I started learning to play the guitar, and I was obsessed with playing the guitar for many years in my teenage years. And then kind of like, I would say that it was always a part of my life, and even uni, like I was playing in bands, but like I knew, because I went to study economics then, so I kind of like drifted away from music, but I always had it in the back of my mind. But I think I didn't know what I wanted to do in music, because I didn't want to be a frontline artist, and I didn't exactly know how to approach it. And then, you know, like JJ said something that I thought was really interesting in his podcast. So go listen to the other episodes of Sofiko's podcast, because they're all interesting. But he said that like the music, for being something that is consumed by everyone, like no one knows what's behind it. Like no one's know what's behind the song that you're listening to or the artist that you like. Like and no one seems to really care that much even, which is a beautiful thing in the end, because like just the message comes across. I feel like now there's a lot more awareness about people in the music industry and all the roles. But before, I think like when I was growing up, there wasn't any. And I found out about the music industry very late, like when I was in my early 20s. So then I kind of like realized that, I wanted to be in the music industry, and I kind of like went to Berkeley and did a master with you about music business, and was my kind of like first real approach, and I found out about different roles, and that kind of like it took off from there. But I would say, you know, maybe like when I volunteered at a music festival in my hometown, it was the first kind of like approach that I had to people that were working in music, even if it wasn't live, which is very different to what I do now. But it was kind of like an approach to see that like there are people that work in music without necessarily being the frontline artist. And there's so many people that work in music, actually. There's like so many people behind your favorite song and your favorite artist.
That's true.
That you don't know about. So yeah, it's just been a long journey. But I would say that it started with, you know what? It started with Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Frusciante, that he's the best, and Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, I was obsessed. Everyone knows about my obsession. And they just made me really into music for different ways. I think John Frusciante was because there was like this interview in which he was saying, like, I was really little at the time. And just for the record, I'm from a very small town in Italy. So it's just really small, really boring, nothing music exciting happens here. But John Frusciante was kind of like saying, you know, I just wanted to move to Hollywood and dress like a woman and just do music and do my thing. And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I just want to fucking move to Hollywood and do whatever the fuck I want to do. It was like music was just like the closest thing to freedom that I could find. And that's why I went for it.
That's beautiful. As far as I know, you haven't moved to Hollywood yet, but you moved to London, right?
But I moved to London, which is the closest thing to Hollywood that you have in Europe. No, but I think, like, to me, when you're young, you kind of like fantasize about Hollywood and all those things. But I think now my approach to that is very much changed. But I did move to London because it was just easier for me. The way I saw my career going and the kind of artists that I wanted to work with, London was just the place that most made sense with the most opportunities as well. So I moved to London, and now I live there. And yeah, it's not like London is a beautiful city and it's perfect for the music industry. It's not my favorite city in the world, you know, like I would like to live like on a beach or whatever, but but London is so great. I think especially if you're young and mm-hmm. like you want to experience a lot of different things and you want to work in music, it is a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about the move to London and how you basically got a start in the new city, in the music industry.
So my start was tough. It was not easy. I feel like now I feel at a very good place in my career, and I love what I do, but it's been a process like of many years of rejections and like a lot of loneliness. I moved to London because I was just very stubborn to do it. But I was applying to so many different jobs. I was being rejected so many times. I did so many interviews and I kept just receiving no's. Like mm-hmm. it was a no after no after no after no. And that was really tough. And it kind of like, I wouldn't say it made me doubt myself, because it could make you doubt yourself. Actually, for a normal person, it would make you doubt yourself. But I think I was just really stubborn, and I knew that I just liked music a lot. Like, I wouldn't say that, like, even now, I didn't want to work in music because I had, like, whatever goal of, like, success or, like, glory. It was just because I really fucking loved it. And, like, I've been living and breathing music since I was a kid. So what the fuck are you saying that I'm not good enough to do this job? Like, who is better than me? Like, tell me, because like, that's all I've been doing for the past 25 years. So it just seemed to me, like, it seemed really unreasonable that I was getting so many no's. And then, you know, after I went to Berkeley, there was COVID, obviously, so it was the lockdown and everything. So I moved back to my hometown, which was the worst. You know, I wanted to fucking move to Hollywood and be free. So imagine going back to my parents in Italy. So that wasn't exactly as I planned things to go. I wanted to be a rock star. No, I'm joking. But that was just like really, really tough time, because I was back to my parents during COVID and I was trying to move to London, even to kind of like just move there and like do whatever other job, even working at a pub, to kind of like just be there and meet people and interviewing like in places. But I couldn't because there was COVID. So it was just shit. It was bad. But then after a lot of like applying to things and a lot of interviews, I started to kind of like sense what people needed, like why I wasn't getting jobs, and like it was always because I didn't have enough experience. So like what I did at the time, I just like did a lot of shit for free, mm-hmm. to kind of like build my CV. It's not something that like I promote, or like working for free, you shouldn't ever work for free, but the reality is that like, even if it is like your friend or your cousin who's starting a band or like whatever it is that you can do in music, you have to show something and you have to show a lot of things. And then those a lot of things maybe get you your first kind of like decent job. And then after that, if you keep going, like you get bigger things, but you have to start from somewhere. So during that time, I just said yes to literally everything. Like whatever someone would ask me, hey, would you do this? I would say, yes, I'll do it. And even if I hated that and I hated my life, then I just did it because I knew that it was going to get me somewhere where I wanted to go. Even if I didn't like it. And it was a lot of like, even like social media stuff, social media manager. Like I didn't want to be a social media manager, but you know, that was a big step, and like that kind of like allowed me to later get like marketing roles or whatever. And then I think what really changed for me is when I applied to like so many jobs, and I eventually applied to this random job for a label in the Netherlands. An electronic independent label in the Netherlands. And I got that job, and that was the first kind of like real job in the music industry. And I started in that label, and then because I had that experience, then I was able to get into the Sony Music internship program that I applied on the third year. I applied at the Sony Music internship program for like 3 years, and I got it on the third one. But I had there's a reason. I don't think you need to do a major label internship to get into the music industry or whatever, but I knew that I had to because I was a random girl from Italy in London, and no one could give a fuck about me. So I knew that if I wanted to do anything, or like if I wanted anyone to trust me in my work, I had to have a big name. That's kind of like how I saw things, and I still agree, and like I'm glad that I did that, because that big name then kind of like I knew that I had to have it, because I didn't have I'm also like I didn't have connection, I'm also quite not a, you know, they tell you that you have to be really good at networking and shit like that, or like a very much of a people person or whatever, and like I'm the worst at that. Like I'm just like kind of like on my own and just do my thing, and I just like music a lot, and I'm not good at networking, and I just knew that like my best shot was having a big name in my CV for people to trust me. So I went and did that, and then I got into Insanity, which is a label within Sony Music. Mm-hmm. And that was incredible because it was the first company in the UK that trusted me, and like I really, they gave me my first job, and I'm absolutely incredibly grateful to them for that opportunity. And also, like, my role was actually label coordinator. It wasn't even an intern role, so that kind of like advanced me as well in my career. It was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like beginning of my kind of like London music experience, because also the one thing internships within major, within Sony at least, because I believe for other, with Warner and Universal, it works a bit different, but within Sony it's like you have like these 20, like 30 kids that start at the same time and end at the same time. And Insanity was like a kind of like a different case because they had like a different contract, and like, you know, I started earlier, I finished, I kept going, and I, you know, so it wasn't like the internship per se, but I was still with the interns within Sony. And basically it's like your freshman year of uni, like you have just like people all your age that want to be in the music industry, and it's very fun, and it's a very fun experience, which I highly recommend for anyone that wants to get into the music industry to apply to that if they are eligible to work in the UK, because you do have to be, unfortunately.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know more than I do. So it is a great experience. The only thing with that is that it's a tough process. Like the interview process for that is just absolutely insane. It lasts like 3 months. You have to do like 3 interviews. The task, like, it's absolutely insane.
Well, it's Insanity Records, no?
True, it is Insanity Records. But yeah, it was absolutely insane. Yeah, that's some crazy shit. But anyway, I do recommend applying if you already have some sort of experience, because obviously if you don't have music experience, even if it's an internship,
yeah,
you will not get it, as I didn't get it for 3 years.
And what type of responsibilities you had at your internship as a coordinator?
So basically, I was a label coordinator, but I think you could also like call it like a marketing job in a way, because I was working with the marketing team and the digital marketing. And you do a lot of different shit, like from raising POs to booking cars to actually working on the marketing campaigns with ideas. And just like, yeah, it's a good place. Like there's a lot of admin, and there's also a lot of, to me, I think like the main thing, it was like, before that, I didn't have an idea of how a major label worked. And that is a great opportunity to, cause you're there, you're everywhere. Like you're in the meetings, you're in the label meetings, you're in the meetings with sales. You're just like, it was just like a full on immersion of like how things work. And to me, it was just like, I just kind of like understood how a major label works and how every department works. And so more than the actual, it was just like, you just have to be there to help everyone with whatever they need. Mm-hmm. And that could be literally anything. It could be just from creating one sheet, which for anyone who doesn't know, it's like every artist has a little like, kind of like one page that describe like all they do. Like it's a summary of them and what they're doing at the moment. So from creating things, like from things that are a bit more like creative in a way, from things that are very admin, from to like booking cars to delivering stuff, and it's a lot of it's a lot of shit that you have to do all the time. But fucking hell, it was fun. Like, to me, it was like you're in the Sony building and you see like big artists coming in and out, and like then you're with the interns who are your age and you get to make friends. I you know, like it was a great time. And Sony organizes workshops as well for the interns. Or like, yeah, it was a really good time. It was a full on like immersion of like things. Like I had to learn a lot of stuff to kind of like direct my career in a better way. And then obviously it's a major, so you have a lot of perks, which are like drinks all the time and like parties and like good stuff that's happening. So it was good.
It sounds very very fun. But it's interesting that you decided after this experience to switch to the artist management company, and it's not a major. And September, you tell us more, but I guess it's like medium-sized company. Like, it's not super small, it's not major.
You know what? Like, September is a quite unique company in a way, because it's a small-sized company between London and LA. I wouldn't say there are more than 30 employees within the whole thing.
Wow. And you're one of the 30. Tell us about it.
Yeah. The unique thing about it is that it's a very small size company, and at the same time, it has like some of the biggest artists, a lot of big artists. So it's the perfect. I couldn't imagine a better place to work, to be honest, because that's another thing. All of that is extremely fun, and majors are really were really fun for the time being. And I think like even just like to experience it once, like it is good. But you also have to understand where you belong and like where your heart is at the end of the day. And even I think like I think majors for me felt a bit corporate, and I often like try to understand what I want to do when I look at like senior people in kind of like my lane of the career that I'm doing. And I think like, do I want to be that one day? And if I think like, I don't think that's what I want to be or what I want to be doing, it means that I probably have to redirect my career in another way. Because do I want to become like marketing manager at a major label? No, like, so I had to kind of like make a switch, or even like whatever manager at a record label, at a major label. I don't think that that's what I want to be. Maybe if I'm like 45 and I need a stable job and like whatever, I can kind of like go back to that. But I think now I just wanted to do kind of like try different stuff that felt like I was gonna work closely with the artist, and a management company just like works closely with the artist, because at the end of the day they're with them, and you know they have the final decision and everything. So to me, it was kind of like it was something that was in the back of my mind. And when I applied in September, also another thing, people in the music industry will tell you that they never got a job by applying. All the jobs I got, literally all of them, I've applied.
Wow.
I have applied to every single one and went through the interviews process to every single one. Not because that's anything better, but just because, like, just apply to that shit. Like, because that could really discourage people to, like, applying to things because they think it's not gonna lead anywhere. But just, that's fucking wrong. Just apply. I applied to everything and I applied to so many things that eventually I had to get something.
That's a very good advice.
You know, like don't not apply to things, like apply to whatever you want and you don't know what's gonna happen. Like I applied to the September job and we clicked. When I went to the interviews, we clicked so much that it felt like, fuck, there's no other place that I would be working right now. I'm really, obviously I started 3 months ago, but I really feel like if I ever have to switch company, I would probably work for myself.
Okay.
You know, or get fired. Like, so it just feels like a really good fit. And I wanted to work more closely with the artists. And also this role that I'm doing now, it's different in a way. First of all, it's a big upgrade. I don't have to do any more admin shit or booking cars or like any of that shit. So that's good. And I'm just like fully in creative mode. Just like what I do is pretty much I create the content. Like I go with the artists and we shoot videos for social media, or we make like, or I make like posters or graphics or like artwork, like how the artists like appear visually in a way on social media. And it's been really fun and it's been like a big challenge, but it is something that I'm really enjoying and like I look forward to get better to, because I think like another thing that happens, I feel like, in the music industry, as you start working, you start realizing like what you're good at as well and what you're not. And it felt like very naturally, even without me looking for it, because like everyone knows, like my first thing that I wanted to do a record label, so like the reason I wanted to work for labels was A&R. Like I wanted to be an A&R fully, like I was convinced. But I think like very naturally it appeared clear to me, but also the people that I work with, that I had like a really good eye for kind of like how the artists appear visually.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like started gravitating to that, and September kind of like gave me a shot at this, and I really look forward to do more interesting things and in that department and get better. Even, you know, the whole like video editing stuff, for example, like something that I'm really fascinated in right now, and the film and creative direction and music videos, and like because like learning that, then like even when it comes to short form content, like you can have like a bunch of cool ideas. So yeah, right now I'm doing that, but also like, and then I'm doing management as well. Like the reality is that it seems, another thing that I think is important, seems like you have to know what you want to be and kind of like be that. And I disagree. I think you can be a lot of different things and change as well. As you grow, life is long. Like you can change careers or like try different stuff. I'm someone that I like to try different experiences, like whether in life or job-wise. Like, so trying different things is something that I'm really enjoying. And yeah, so don't, if you don't exactly know, I think like knowing what you want to do just helps you get there.
Get the direction.
You know? So like, personally for me, it's like, I know what I want to do, but like what's my, more than what I want to do, like in general in life, is like, what's my next step that I know I have to take? Because overall, like, there's a lot of things that make me happy, and like, you know, and also people change. Like when I was out of Berkeley, I thought that like I had like a big massive ambition of being really important in the music industry as a, I don't know, as an A&R or like a label director or whatever the fuck. but it's not. I think there's different measure of success that I have now, and they're very not related by your job title. Mm-hmm. They're much more related to other things like people's empathy and compassion and curiosity and creativity and having fun and doing things because you want to do them and try to kind of like, yeah, there's just, you know, there's just you change as a person and you find different things and you try different things. So yeah, I look forward to, I don't know what, right now I'm just enjoying where I'm at and then we'll see where it takes me. But I think like I'm very satisfied with where I ended up and I'm much more at peace than I was when I started this music journey.
I love this mindset a lot and I feel like what you just said is also kind of therapeutic because it's kind of do what you love. Like try, don't stop trying, keep applying and you will get somewhere.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. you didn't mention the artists that are signed to September and there are some amazing artists. I think you should mention that. And also, can you share very quickly like what kind of skills or what type of software did you have to learn and develop to get this job? Because working with editing and stuff is not something that you studied music business program necessarily. Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely. So September is a management company and they also have an independent label. And I'm together with my boss. I'm kind of like the only one. We are the only ones who work across the whole roster because everyone else, since it's a management company, is a manager. So the way it works is like there's like people who manage the artists and then me and my job work on all of the artists under kind of like on the digital stuff. September has, well, it was founded by the manager of Adele. So one artist of the roster is Adele, which is the most known, I guess.
I love her so much.
I love her too, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, there's Rex Orange County, King Crew, Obong JR, which is an incredible artist from Nigeria. So you should go listen to him because it's one that I've been really loving working with and I think he deserves to be in such a high spot, you know? He's one of those. Orion Sun. What do we have? Valencia Grace. There's a lot of development acts. Artemis. Yeah, it's and then there's producers, there's like some producers as well that obviously I don't work with because they don't really interact with, they don't have to be frontline in any way. So yeah, this is kind of like the roster. And what was the other question?
What kind of software did you need to learn to get this job and get into this role? What kind of skills did you need to develop, basically?
Yeah, that's also another thing. Whatever I do now within my job is something that I learned by myself. But I would also say that most people in the music industry know, because eventually you just will have to, no matter what you do, you will have to probably open Photoshop to change a date or change something to for a something like a poster or whatever. That, you know, it's one of the things you probably know how to use Photoshop as well, in a way, in a basic way. I think everyone knows how to use Photoshop that works in music. So it's like Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere, so all the kind of like Adobe package in a way. But that's something that I've always done, like, even in high school, like, I was doing, like, film class when, you know, like, I always kind of, like, edited videos or, like, did a bunch of, like, shit just for fun. So it kind of, like, sometimes I feel like you do things and you don't realize that they're gonna be your job, but then like you spend so much time doing them that you're like, oh, you know what, I could do this. Sometimes also life surprise, like the way when this job opened up in September, I looked at this description, I was like, because I was looking for management companies, and then I saw this role, which was, in a very weird way, it kind of like had everything that I wanted to do in a weird way, like summarized. I was like, fuck, this seems like exactly what I want to do at this time. And then also, like, another thing is that when you start a job, I think I've been lucky enough that I always work with company that have this mindset. You start a job that maybe has certain skills and kind of like requires these sort of things, but the reality of it is that then once you start, you very much shape the job. So obviously if you're extremely good at something and you work with smart people, they will make you do that thing more. So I think like whatever job you start, then you really have the power to shape that how you want it to go. So if you like doing something a lot, just prove that you're really fucking good at it, so they make you do that more. That's a beautiful thing about music, is that there are so many different roles, and the only really hard thing is getting in. But once you get in, if you show people that you can do something, just show them, and like, you know, they will trust you to do it. But I feel like the hard thing is to just like get in, and also proving that you work hard, because obviously this is not easy industry, especially at the beginnings. I can't remember the last time I took a holiday for more than 5 days. actually yesterday was my first day of holiday for a week off, but you know, today I'm here doing a podcast about the music industry, so it's just like there's no breaks.
I really appreciate that you took a time out of your holiday to do this.
Anytime, I will always take the time for you, Sofiko, you know that. No, but it's a massive pleasure. No, but this is to say that it is a lot of work, and like you also have to understand if it is worth it. Like for me right now, it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of what I wanted to do, but I don't know if I will always want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I will change my mind and I will want to work way less and just have breaks. But to me right now, there's things that are important to me that I wanted to do and I wanted to reach. And then there's also Oscar, which is another artist that I manage I care.
Tell us more about it. How did you like start working with Oscar? How did you build
I met Oscar at Berkeley, actually, because was an undergrad. She was an undergrad at Berkeley, and she was doing the kind of like period abroad that they do during the undergrad in Valencia. So we met at that time. But at the time, I didn't feel confident enough to manage anyone, because I didn't know the music industry enough. Like it was literally like my first time kind of like really understanding and taking everything in. So a couple of years after, I was like, I saw that she was releasing music and whatever, so I just hit her up and I was like, can I just help you out? And then she was really stuck in this really bad contract. So another thing, if you're an artist, don't sign contracts, get a lawyer. Always get a lawyer before you sign anything. If you're a young artist, don't sign big shit thinking that. Just be really careful with that, because it's your music and it's your freedom as well. So she was stuck in this contract, so I helped her getting her out of it. We got a lawyer, And yeah, now we're releasing music again, and she just released an EP 2 weeks ago. But I just hit her up. So what she did, like another great way of getting into the music industry, she's just like, if you like an artist, ask them to be their manager, mm-hmm. and start helping them out. You know, to me, I could only be a manager of an artist that I hardcore believe in. Like, it's not like something I just want to do for whoever. So Oscar, I love her music so much, and I believe in her. And but most of all, I just want to help her, because her music is important. Like, Oscar is, she's just like, I feel like we're just, she's just the artist. I can, how do I say this? Like, she just fully represents the artists that I like and that I want to push forward. And she really embraces that. And I just love helping her out. And we'll see where it goes. But it's just another, you know, it's just another of releasing good music and being happy, you know. I always tell her, just like, try to enjoy life as well. Because being in the music industry, both on the artist side or the behind the scenes, like, you can get really stuck and obsessed. And don't get me wrong, like, if you're not obsessed and stuck and uncomfortable for a long period of time, you're probably not going to get where you want to go. You have to be in that really dark place, I believe, to reach things. But also, like, try to keep your mind healthy as well, because that can be a very dark place to be. Like, if you're obsessed with something that you want to reach and it's not coming, or like, it's really hard to get. I was there at some point, and like, I felt really extremely unhappy, and like, and now I would have probably, you know, I probably needed that to kind of like do something, because I'm also like quite, I don't know, like, it's hard for me. Like, I like to relax and have fun as well a lot. I'm Italian at the end of the day. I'm not like this all about work life, you know. There's other things. But, you know, at the time, you know what helps you? Like, what helps me is like some physical activity of what kind. I feel like that really keeps me like kind of like, you know, in a good place mentally.
You're just feeling the uncomfortable truth of life, that you need to be uncomfortable for a period of time before, you know, you get somewhere where you want to be. And it's very true, because I've been
in a similar situation. Because also, like, if you're already happy and comfortable with what you are, you don't really push yourself over the edge to achieve other things. So, like, I don't know if I would have accepted all the rejections and the no's that the mixing industry have given me, because honestly, that shit was tough. Like, you really, but I think, like, I knew that I wanted to kind of like change my life and be there and kind of like turn things around, that I kind of like didn't let it stop me. But if I was fine living whatever other life, maybe I wouldn't have kept going, because mm-hmm. why the fuck with you?
yeah, absolutely. What would you say are your life highlights?
So many. I think, like, there's a lot of highlights, but I think one of, when I first started working at Sony, just going into the building and feeling like I work here now. And now, because to me now it's jokes, because obviously then you work there and you meet so many people that work over there, and like, it's not even like a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Because as I said, like, even what success is, like, you change perspective of what a success is and like what a successful person is or whatever. But that feeling of just like entering the building and be like, I work here, like, was very surreal. Then when I went to Glasgow with September last month, was it end of June? that was massive, because obviously Glastonbury is just like the biggest festival in the world, the best festival in the world. I haven't been to every festival in the world, but let me tell you, that is the best festival in the world. That was a mad feeling, because also I had just started the job and I didn't expect to go at all. And then my boss messaged me, "Ella, do you want to go to Glastonbury?" And I was like, fuck.
What an amazing message.
So Glastonbury was a big moment. When you hear songs that you work on the radio, it is always a big moment. I was living at the airport yesterday, going back home to Italy now. And I go into the airport and like on the radio, there's a song that it was the first song that I worked on at September. I was like, fuck, can't believe they're playing this. And it's just, I think it's a nice feeling, because for everyone, it's just a song in the background. But for you, it's like the song that you've been listening to every day for the past 3 months. And like, been thinking of how we can make this song bigger and better and just like do these things around it. So it's just, it's a mad feelings when you hear it just like in a normal, like at the supermarket or whatever. This moment, I think Glastonbury and these kind of like little things that happen, and just getting to be with the artists and work with them, and there's just a lot of special moments, I would say. And then special moments with the people you work with as well. And it's everything is always very surreal to me still. Mm-hmm. Because I just spend a lot of time just kind of like dreaming about it in a way, and then it happens and it's your life, and then you realize, oh, okay, this is life, this is just like not whatever crazy thing you think it's going on under, like it's just it's a very chill life as well, but crazy things happen and then they're not crazy anymore because you're leaving them, but,
yeah.
You know, I think that's what life, I think it's good to kind of like a bit having a dream of things, yeah, that you want to do and things that you are fascinated about, and kind of like never lose that enthusiasm, and if you lose it, because then you reach to a place and you realize, oh, it's whatever, and then maybe there's other things that are gonna make you excited. So like, as long as you always have things that could make you excited that don't have to be even career related, it could be like, I don't know, whatever, like a physical challenge that you want to do, or anything really, a language that you want to learn, like keep having things that make you excited, and I think that's a good way to go about life.
That's a very beautiful thing, and I really share this idea. You mentioned several times that your understanding of success have changed during your life. What is your definition of success at the moment?
To me, it's just living life with compassion and with curiosity and always kind of like trying to go for the things that make you happy, you know? like choosing yourself in a way that if there's anything that you want to do and you're scared of doing, or you're scared of the judgment of others, like just try to go for it. And I understand that not everyone is in a position to always do that. I think I've been in a very privileged position that I was able to kind of like go for my career and my dreams and my goals. But there's also people that are from countries in which they cannot go outside of their country. They are visa problem. You know about visa problems more than I do. There's people that cannot travel. There's people there's people that have different kind of struggles. So whatever you do, just like try to do your best. try to do your best as well. Also, like, mentally, like, I feel like there's people that struggle with bad mental health thing that cannot do daily easy things that I can do. I never had to struggle too much on that side. So I was always able to push through, because life, you know, life is hard. Life is hard for even if you're a privileged person. So imagine if you have like a lot of shit going on. So to me, a successful person is someone that goes about their life with compassion as well and empathy, but is also curious and tries to be positive in a way and kind of like going for the things that they want. But there's a lot of people that are successful in my eyes, and they could be doing whatever retail job or whatever, you know, they do different things. You could tell you what it is not about, and it's not about your job title, yeah, or your career or things that are very, very not important.
That's a very beautiful and kind definition of success. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. We will be wrapping up the interview, and at the end I ask my guests all these four simple or not so simple questions. The first one is, do you have any book, movie and song recommendations for the listeners? It can be something your all-time favorite, or it can be something that you just love at the moment.
One of my all-time favorite books, which is Wuthering Heights. And I recommend that one because, why is it my favorite book? I feel like I decided one day that it was going to be my favorite book, and like, I never changed it. But I think, like, I just love that book so much. I think, like, it was from a time in which, like, it was written in a time in which, you know, like, all the books talked about these women that were nice and, like, perfect, and they were looking for a great husband, and like that was the first book in which the main character was a bit of a bitch and the other character was a bit of like a messy human, and then like it kind of like makes you realize that people are just messy in a way sometimes. So I love that book so much. And then one that I've been reading that's been recommended to me, Norwegian Woods by Murakami, which is a very cult book, but it has very, I've been liking it. I wasn't liking it at first, but now I'm towards the end, and it's I think it's a very nice book. So yeah, that one. And then films. I'm gonna recommend a show, actually, which is a music related one, which is High Fidelity. That is like so good, and it was cancelled, so fuck them for cancelling.
I'm so sad, I cannot believe they did this.
So sad, that was one of the best shows that, you know, like, I had watched in a while. And then The OC, which is the best show in the world, my all-time favorite show, so everyone should watch it. I tell everyone to watch it all the time, no one listens to me, nobody ever watches it, but The OC is a great show. With a great soundtrack. Like, you know what? That was actually also one of the shows that made me really passionate. Like, some of the artists that played during that show are some of my favorite, became some of my favorite artists. So it's great for the soundtrack too. And then songs. I'm going to say, you know, these artists that I mentioned on September, Obong Jayor, which I didn't know before I was working, then I started working on September, I got to know him. There's this song called I Wish It Was Me. It's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. So listen to that song. Fred Again also did a remix of it that came out yesterday, I think. But the original one, like, what a great song. So I'm going to mention that one, and I'm going to mention Oscar's latest EP. Go listen to that. Is it shit that like I mention all artists I'm working on? Like, go listen to them. But no, it's you know, but you know, that's also a thing. This is music that I deeply care about and I deeply love, and it's not about work, and it's not about trying to go. It's just loving, really loving the music and what you do, and like, so I promote that stuff.
No, I think, I think on the opposite, it's amazing that you recommend the music that you work with, because it really shows that you love it and you yourself listen to it. So,
that's good. I was like, I thought it for a second, oh, this is a shitty thing to do, I don't know. It's like you ask like an artist or like recommend me a song, like, go listen to my song. Like, it feels a bit like that, but yeah.
The next question is, who is your celebrity crush?
Ooh, Sofiko, celebrity crush. This is such a hard one for me. It is such a hard one for me all the time, because I have to think about it. I'm going to say Olivia Dean. Do you know who Olivia Dean is? Maybe she's big in the UK and not anywhere else yet.
Okay. I think I've heard her name. I haven't listened to her album, but I feel like I should, because I saw it reposted on at several stories already.
It's such a really good album that I really loved lately. I'm gonna say her, but you know what, I have like a very weird amount of celebrity crush that don't make sense. There's also Justin Bieber. I always had Bieber fever, so that's another one.
That's a good one.
That's
okay.
A good one.
What is the most useless talent that you have?
Useless talents. What can I do? Maybe the cube, Rubik. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that I learned on YouTube when I was like 14, because you have to learn, like, it's pretty much a memory thing. Like, it really doesn't require any major intellect to do. It's just you have to learn it, and someone needs to teach it to you. And I learned it, and it's been useless. I thought, oh, once I'm gonna learn this, it's gonna be so cool, because I'm gonna be able to do it, and everyone else is not gonna be able to do it. But the reality is that most people know how to do it, because they did the same shit that I did and went on YouTube and learned it, and it's not even a useful thing anymore. It's just,
yeah. Well, I don't, so I would be easily impressed too.
Okay, good. I'll do it to you next time I see you. Just so I can boost my ego a little bit.
And the last question that I like to wrap up the conversation with is, who would you say inspires you the most?
Oh God, many people. I think I am constantly inspired by people who are brave in a way that they do. I think, like, unfortunately, like, growing up in this world and system makes you kind of like do things, like, feel like you have to do certain things and a certain steps to go through life. And I am constantly inspired by anyone who challenges that and go after what they want, without necessarily feeling they have to settle or they have to do certain things to make other people happy. Because at the end of the day, if you even make yourself happy, the people around you are gonna be happy as well. But if you always do things for other people and you don't happy, like, you know, like, save yourself before you can save anyone else, you know, it's kind of like that thing. So people who really are brave and go after the life they want, and I'm inspired by everyone. I'm inspired by my friends. I'm inspired by you, Sofiko. I'm inspired by people I meet on a regular day and I never see again. Everyone is inspiring in a way. So yeah, there's just not a couple of people that I'm inspired by. A lot of different people doing different things, and I try to implement those things in a way in my life as well. Yeah,
Thank you so much. I'm really touched to be in the list of people who inspire you.
Of course.
No, really. Thank you so much for the interview. Thank you so much for your time. I am as well inspired by you and by your story. And I think it's beautiful how you approach life in general. And I think your story is another example of how you should just do what you feel doing, like what you love. And if things are not working out at the time, it doesn't mean that it will not work out ever. And with your example, you show that you should just keep trying, keep applying, move into another country if it's necessary at the moment and if you can. And it's just beautiful and, again, inspiring. And thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing your story.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Thank you, Sofika. It was a massive pleasure. First time I'm on a podcast, you know? Big moment for me.
I'm happy that my platform is debuted for you.